Hey.
Wow. This is our first, I don't want to say live episode, but up to date.
Yeah.
This is our first up to date. We pre-recorded 5 episodes because we didn't know what was going on. So this is the first time that we're actually saying hello to our listeners and viewers. We have 68 followers on Instagram. That's a lot.
We do?
Yeah, we have.
You're doing all the work. You're doing all the work.
No, I'm just like, no.
Yeah, you are.
So. For anyone who's joining us for the first time, welcome to a Refined Voyage podcast with the lovely Kayla and me, Michelle. We are two Black women who chat about everything, but mostly about travel, because we are two well-traveled Black women from Canada. We are doing our podcast remotely at the minute because I am continuing my refined voyage in Dublin, Ireland. We are currently in lockdown number 2, so welcome to my humble abode.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it.
those viewers and listeners, actually, who have been following us in our last 5 episodes know that we have recorded on the fly and outside, and that's our shtick. And hopefully I'll be able to continue that once we are not in lockdown.
Okay. We will.
Yeah. What's up? It's been a while since we recorded an episode. Lots have happened. You moved. We spoke about it. Tell us about your move. Where do you live now?
I don't want to tell you where I live. I'm not going to tell you where I live, but I will tell you that I am close to a border, the American border, to be more specific. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That I'm no longer in the city, and I'm close to the American border. So if anybody needs a green card. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Brennan. I'm not getting married. anyway, so I moved, and I'm super grateful. Our place is much bigger than our little tiny 500 square feet apartment in Toronto. Brendan's getting used to it. Jameson's getting used to it. So much so he's just laying on the couch. Let me show you.
Yeah, you haven't introduced Jameson to the viewers, so let's see our.
This is my little bee.
Hi. Hello. I like to call him Jamie, but I don't know if he likes that. What's up, Jamie?
You're sleeping. I'll put you back down now. Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's good. He's getting used to it. The first night, he had a hard time. He was like, where are we? Why is our bed in here? What are all these weird sounds? So he just, like, was in the bed. I was telling you earlier. And any sound he would hear, he'd be like, kind of thing.
Wait, do the sound one more time, just for everyone else, because I love it. Why are you so good at that? Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. But yeah, we moved. There's like no one around. I saw one Black person the other day and we waved at each other. You know, that was nice. There's a Black girl too. Wait. Yes. You know, like you want to run up to them and hug them, but you can't.
I wish you would have done that. That would have been hilarious.
It'd probably be a deal for harassment.
And especially during Corona time.
Yeah, COVID. Yeah, I'm just running up to random people and hugging them. Oh my gosh. It's a good thing I didn't do it. But yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
So you're so far so good.
So far so good. I miss my old neighbors, but otherwise, so far so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know if people know this, but it snows in Canada. So I'm sure where you are, you're going to get a lot of snow. So hopefully we'll be able to see it.
Yeah, I think the other day we got our first snowfall. But like Toronto got more than we did. And then we just have like, I guess our car got dusted by snow. Like there wasn't much at all. And we're warmer than Toronto right now too, because we're south.
Oh, look at you. Just a little warmer. So when we chatted a little bit before we started recording, and there's one thing that you noticed about me. What did you notice?
See that shirt? That Blockbuster shirt? I love it.
So just for you. just for the to be what's the word I'm looking for? Consistent. I'm very consistent. So we chatted about how you used to work at Blockbuster, and I got this shirt in Oregon. So shout out to, I think the town's called Bend. They have the last Blockbuster in the world. So yeah. So shout out to them for still standing and at least for me and my nostalgia. So if you, I don't know if they sell merch online, but maybe check it out. If anybody else, one out of our 68 followers, if any of you guys want some Blockbuster merch, go to the website, I guess, maybe. I think it says Oregon.
Last Blockbuster on the planet. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wore this for you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, welcome. You're welcome.
It's so funny. I've got to screenshot something for you because I the other day my Blockbuster memory came up and I was wearing like my full-on Blockbuster shirt with the tag and my hair is so ugly because I was in high school. I'm gonna go try to find it.
You have to find it and I'll post it on our Instagram.
Okay Good idea. Anyways, let's get into it.
No, speaking about you living south and being close to our neighbors down south, this episode will go up next week, so we'll have an answer as to who will be the president, number 46, I think, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully we have good news. I think we'll have good news or better news. I don't know that it's good.
I know.
We'll just have news. We'll have news.
Yeah.
But I kind of just wanted to just speak to our friends south of the border. Like, we're watching, we're hoping and in solidarity with you guys. And I think everywhere, not I think, I know, at least from doing the footwork and being abroad, that it does affect the rest of the world because the USA is so huge. They start the trends over there. They're the new world order, right? So the outcome does affect attitudes outside of the US, which in turn affects individuals. So yeah. We're thinking of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Have you been watching the election at all? Like, have you been, like...
Yeah, so, I watch some of it, but I can't watch too much because I get very overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and then, it's almost like binge-watching a series, but, like, real life.
Yeah, so I'll just
continue watching for hours and hours and hours. Yeah. So right now we're waiting on Nevada. I don't know what the outcome will be, but hopefully good, and we can have a answer. But I think we're okay.
Yeah,
I think that guy.
The what? Say the answer.
I said I think that guy is out. I'm not.
You
gonna
think
say
so? Something. I don't know.
I think
I
number
know.
45 is out. He's out.
I don't know. I feel like every time I watch it, the numbers just keep changing. So you know, you're just like. And then you're like, fuck. And then you have to, like, run away. And then you come back and you're like, oh, God. But it just, like, constantly keeps changing. So you just don't know, like, what's going to happen. You know?
I feel you. Sorry, I just took a sip of water and I realized that I'm recording. So everybody probably heard my gulp. Those of you who are listening. So I apologize for that.
I don't think anybody heard it.
Yeah. That's exhausting. Yeah. And we're thinking of everybody else. And yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to quickly chat about an interesting experience that I had.
Oh,
And so I mentioned before that I lived in Sweden and I worked within the school system. And I have a very good relationship with my previous boss and I really enjoyed the job. Sweden just wasn't for me.
Okay.
My old boss asked me to facilitate race and sensitivity training for the school board, for the Swedish school board that I previously worked for, and it was I have a lot of feelings about it. I think that it's really great that they did this. I spoke to several, it was only for the staff, so it was teachers and admin. So I believe it was mostly teachers that were present, and I spoke, I believe, three different schools within the school board in Stockholm, Sweden.
Okay.
And it was such a, I'm not going to say slap in the face, because I kind of, I prepped myself, and knowing what I experienced in Sweden, I kind of knew that, I knew what to expect in a way, but at the same time, I really wasn't prepared for the questions. And I like some of the questions that were asked, they were really interesting, because to me it's just like common knowledge, and I found myself a little bit outside of myself, because I wanted to be like, I wanted to be Scarborough and be like, yo fam, like, are you dumb, are you stupid, are you crazy, like but like what? But then I realized, you know, the questions that people have questions and concerns and don't know how to address them. And I think it's really important that businesses and organizations, especially institutions like governments, schools, that are dealing with the livelihood of people, healthcare, I think that it's really important for them to do race and sensitivity training. So I just wanted to quickly share that, because I just thought it was really interesting, and it just goes to show, I mean, we speak about travel, and it just goes to show that the wave of Black Lives Matter hit other places outside of North America, and people are doing things to try and make it a little bit of a better place. And I'm a firm believer, I think, I don't know who I heard this from, or where it came from, or where I read it, but I have this notion of, you can't change the world, but you can make this corner of it a little bit better. So I had a really hard and terrible time in Sweden, and it's still such a sore spot for me, but if I can change somebody else's experience, and that was kind of my thought process of going into the role, because I was having a terrible time before I even took the role on. Staying, you know, extending my stay over there. So if I could do that in that way, and then if I could do that again through, you know, race and sensitivity, facilitating race and sensitivity training, I think that, like, you just kind of have to do your best and try to make a small change.
Yeah, and so I'm proud of you for doing that. I'm really proud. Like, do you have an example of, like, a question, like a stupid question that someone asked? Not stupid.
No questions are stupid.
No questions are stupid, but, like, us.
Yeah, so one of the questions that was really interesting was... a teacher asked it, kind of told, expressed the situation that happened, that two children, I'm not going to use the word she used because it was very inappropriate, but two kids of color, two students of color, were tossing around the N-word. And she said that she didn't feel comfortable going to them and saying to them, hey, you can't say that word. Because she's done it in the past, and they say, well, you know, we can say it. First of all, I don't think that people know. Some people know that just because you're a person of color, maybe you don't identify as Black, or you're not Black. You can be a person of color and be from India. You can be a person of color and be from several parts of the world. My response was, well, first of all, I don't know if these, you know, students were Black. And my personal view on that word is, if you are Black and you should choose to use that word, to try and reclaim it, that's at your own discretion. So my response to her was, I don't know if these kids were Black, but if they were, you know, and they choose to use that word, that's at their own discretion. However, however, you're at school, and I've worked in the school system. We don't tolerate any sort of curse word or don't use it, you know. I just didn't understand why it was such a discomfort to tell these kids, don't cuss on school grounds. A lot of people had concerns because they didn't know how to address racial issues within the classroom, because they're not a person of color and they haven't experienced it. So it was just more so having questions about, you know, how do I stand up? How do I do this? And it's simply like, you know, educate yourself first, and educate the kids. So it was really interesting. And there were a couple of comments that were super inappropriate. Like one guy went off about slavery and it was just bad. But I think I handled myself with poise and I didn't get all... Garbo didn't show. At least I don't think. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. It slides. So if anybody who listens or watches this, they can get in touch with us and I can share the slides that I created if they want to, you know, have them for themselves or, you know, for their staff. They're very basic, simple. It's with examples and basically just definitions of the different types of racism that happens and the different questions that are asked and stuff like that. So yeah, any listeners or viewers that so whenever I say listeners or viewers, I'm like, oh my God, we have we're worldwide. But to the 15 people who are listening or watching and didn't know that I facilitated a race and sensitivity training, if they would like the resources that I created, please feel free to reach out to us via Instagram or can you message on YouTube? I don't know.
I've had emails on YouTube, but they usually just, they used to just go to YouTube and now it just goes to my email address. So.
Okay. Well, comment. You can comment. Yeah. And I'll be, I'm fine to share that. So yeah, I feel like I'm talking a lot, but I just wanted to say that. So that was really interesting.
I think that's really awesome because in my previous role before I quit my job, like in market communications and marketing, I worked for a non-for-profit organization and my boss actually set up a race and diversity, what are they called again? Like the same thing you did, like a workshop kind of thing for the staff, which was totally awesome. But this was before the whole Black Lives Matter movement, even though like it's been happening, but like really came to forefront where companies were like, oh, we need to maybe learn about these things. You know what I mean? Like. My boss already did this, and I think it was awesome that she did it. And I think when you have organizations or schools that, like, were doing this from time, I think it's very important. And it's like, okay.
From time, G.
My West End is coming out. but, yeah, so she did that, and I thought it was awesome. Or our team did it, and it was awesome. And, yeah, it really speaks about like management as a whole, because if management and the people in the upper levels are deciding to do this, then they're a bit woke, you know what I mean? Or like not even woke, like they're just, this is what you're supposed to do
kind of thing. Sure.
Yeah,
I just hope that it's not performative, and I kind of touched on that as well.
Now it feels performative.
Yeah, a little bit. I might go as far as I'm waiting on the recording because we recorded the session. And if I can make sure that everyone but myself stays anonymous, if anybody wants a video, once I get it, I will for sure share. So that's also an option. If you want to see my face, talking about, hear me speaking and... Oh, stop. Oh, I miss you. So you moved out of the city and how's it going over there? Is it in Ontario? Are you in lockdown number two? Because we're in lockdown number two. I feel like it's lockdown day 993. Like I'm going a little nuts.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Did you hear that?
No, don't hear anything. Because no one's moving. so over here, so we're still in Ontario, but there are certain regions of Ontario that have different rules. So, for example, before we left Toronto, you were no longer allowed to, like, eat in restaurants. You still had to eat on a patio or do takeout. Here, it's a bit different where you can go inside. You do have to wear a mask, and you can eat in restaurants, but the restrictions here aren't as strict as in Toronto, which is okay. Interesting.
Oh, it doesn't feel like lockdown number two. Just
no, continue. Yeah, like your lockdown is like a lockdown time. Like
yeah. We're in lockdown number two, and it's rough. I'm in Ireland. I'm in Dublin, and the whole country is in lockdown number two. So we are in week 2 of a 6-week lockdown. Wow. Everything is closed except for schools, daycares, and essentials. So pharmacies and grocery stores, really. Construction's still on, which is really, I mean, capitalism, man. Am I right? and on top of that, I think this is one of the hardest things for me, is that we are not allowed to leave our vicinity. So we have to stay within 5 kilometers of our registered address. And if you do leave and you are caught, you get like a hefty fine. So yeah, you're stuck. You can go for walks and such, but it has to be 5K of where you live. So it's been really rough, because I think for me, I know I'm playing the little violin right now, because I know that everybody is going through it collectively. Right. And people have been in lockdown because of their compromised immune systems or living with people at risk, which I did when I was home.
Yeah, you did.
So I know a lot of people have been in lockdown for like 8-9 months, and I get it, and I feel that way as well. I had a little bit of freedom when we were filming in the summer for the month of July and half of August. So I had that, but it just feels like a lot. I mean, I came home to Toronto in March, and I did the 2-week quarantine where I didn't leave anywhere. And then we were in lockdown, you know, had a lockdown birthday, and it was just rough.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a little bit of freedom in the summer. And then I came back here in the start of autumn, did another 2-week quarantine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, post my 2 weeks, it was lockdown, you know? Yeah. So there was a week and a half where you still weren't allowed to leave the county, and preventative measures. So nothing has really opened fully in Dublin. Like, the pubs haven't opened, the tourist attractions haven't opened. So they haven't even gone to 100% and then reverted. They just kind of opened up a little bit, and then the cases started to rise, and we went into lockdown number 2. So it just felt like I've been locked up. They won't let me out. Hey, they won't let. Yeah. Sorry. Oh my gosh. So yeah. It's just felt,
that's hard.
It's just like I've been cooped up for a really long time. And, you know, I know that in the previous episodes I've spoken about feeling a little bit insecure about making the decision to come back, and and I don't know if it's the right decision, but it's a decision, and I'm just
right. Kind of
thinking, like, bruh. But it's the lockdown is serving its purpose. So just to give anyone who's not from Ireland, and Dublin specifically, some perspective. The country of Ireland has the same population as Toronto, about 5 million.
Right.
Dublin, I think, has about 1 million or 1.4 or something like that.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. And that's cute. And we peaked at a couple of weeks ago. It was about 1,200 cases. So I believe in terms of percentages, per 100,000 per capita, it's about 200%, so it's just a little bit high.
Oh, for sure.
Right, so they decided to lock down, and now, so we went from 1,200 cases a day, and now it's about 200. So it is serving its purpose.
Good.
So I'm hoping that post 6 weeks, there'll be a little more leniency, but still with COVID measures put in place, because I know selfishly I'm going crazy, but
this is
a pandemic and people are getting really ill and dying. So I'm very happy that myself and the people around me and my loved ones, including you, are safe and happy. I'd like my mental health right now.
I was going to touch on that, because it's like, okay, we're talking about like people getting sick and stuff like that, but like not many people are talking about mental health and what being cooped up and not being able to go for walks and not being able to see family and friends, what that can actually do for you. And that can like make you sick physically, like mentally, and then it just like hits the body kind of thing. So I
just
exactly. And not like such a nice way either. It's like I feel like that's what it does. But I do hope that things kind of open up for you guys. And it sounds like it's getting there, especially if it's gone from 1,200 to 200 cases. That's huge. And yeah, so maybe even before the 6 weeks, it'll let up, maybe?
Yeah, I know that during the 4 week mark, I think we'll get a clear answer, you know, if they're going to extend it, or maybe they'll let up a little bit. But for me personally, I don't mind, like, I don't really eat out. For me, it's like not the restaurants, it's not that experience, which I totally understand. It's not really going to the pubs, even though it's such a huge part of the culture here. Okay. For me, it's just really being able to go out in nature and see the different sites. So like being able to rent a car or get on a train or, you know, and go see the Giant's Causeway and go see, you know, cool castles and stuff like that. So selfishly, it's really about eating my Wanderlust and being able to see the things in the short amount of time, because my visa ends in June. So, and of course, with the holidays, I'm hoping that there'll be a little more freedom for people to family and friends. And personally, I think I'm going to stay, you know, do my part and stay home. So I'll just be here during the holidays. No, it's okay. I have for those who don't know, I'm Jewish, so I ordered a menorah, so I'll light all the candles, and I also have a little mini tree, and I ordered a cute little decoration, so yeah, it'll be nice. Also, I feel like I have a business idea.
Okay, are we talking about this now?
Yeah, we're talking about it now. So, I feel like I have a business idea. Please, somebody create this, because I don't have the resources. I'm here by myself, right? And the holidays are coming, and I wish that I could like plug in my details into an app or website, like my shoe size, my clothing size, you know, maybe my glasses prescription, all of my preferences. Like, I love yellow gold, you know, I love sneakers, these are the brands, and plug everything in and just
and like, then okay, a sugar daddy sends it to you.
Well, I was going to say that
you said it to yourself.
Here's my wish list. No, we're still looking for sponsors, guys. Anyone who's watching or listening, yeah, sponsors. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Sponsors, just a great way of saying sugar daddy. No, yeah, but you plug in the details, and then you put in your credit card number, debit card or whatever, and let's say you pay $200, and you're like, I want five gifts, and you just want them to be a surprise. And then you pay $200, and then they send you five gifts wrapped up, and then you put it under the tree, and then on Christmas Day, you have gifts from yourself that are a surprise. That you can
open. That's cute. Oh, that's cute.
What I want. Because I was thinking to myself, like, oh, you know, and I think a lot of people are, I don't know about you, but I'm not that bad, but I'm a little bit bad, and I'm kind of addicted to buying things online at the minute, because you can't go anywhere. And not that I have, like, the surplus of income, but I definitely feel like because we're not going out, we're saving a lot of money and spending it. So I was like, oh, I really want to buy myself something for the holidays and like open it up. But then it's not a surprise because you know what it is. So it's not fun. So that's my business idea. So if anybody wants to be a partner or wants to create this and then give me the...
Why can't we just like have a group like wish list? Like me and my cousins, we do Secret Santa. Why don't we just do like a group wish list with like your closest peoples, and then they can send you the things that you want? I know you wanted it from yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to like pressure people to buy me gifts.
You don't have to. They don't have to.
No. But yeah, that's my business idea.
Okay. But yeah. I like it.
So here we are with our first live-ish episode, and still doing it remote, and
I'm proud of us.
I feel
they
like
always I say that.
I spoke a lot and I drove the conversation.
That's okay,
guys.
I love it when you do it.
I wonder how many times you say sorry on air.
Do I say sorry a lot?
I feel like I do.
Oh.
I feel like you do too.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Me too. I'm sorry. So shout out to our neighbors south of the border. Shortly, shout out to everybody who's been following us and listening. Like, I'm actually overwhelmed with gratitude.
I know
our friends and family, they're so nice, and strangers. We've had a couple of stranger encounters, which is really nice and
humbling.
So, and this is super fun.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's my therapy session. I think I've said that before, but I'm grateful for it. And I like that it's like raw and candid. And I appreciate our listeners for appreciating us for who we are inside.
Oh my God. Thank you. With that said, I think we should cut it, and I guess we're gonna, I don't think we're gonna pre-record bulk episodes anymore. I think we're just gonna do it week by week, and
I think that
we'll take this season into the holidays, and then after the holidays we'll see where we're at and pick it up again in 2021. So we have a few more weeks, I guess. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. I'll be here.
Yeah, same. So we have at least, for our listeners and our viewers, we have at least 4 more episodes, I guess, we would say. And we'll take it up until the end of the year and then pick it back up and see where we're at post New Year.
Yay. And we'll see what's going on next week with the election.
Yeah. And we'll chat about that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for watching, if you're watching on YouTube, and thanks everyone for listening, if you're listening on Stitcher or Spotify, or we're on Apple Podcasts. So anywhere that you get your podcasts, you can find us. And if you're following us on Instagram, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Me too.
We're having a lot of fun with you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys. Until next time.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye. Ah, shit. I don't know how to stop recording.